Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your 1 hour inspiration program. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in with us tonight. We've got a very good show for you tonight. Let me go ahead and welcome tonight's topic. If you're just joining us, does God help us in making any of our decisions? Does God help us in making any of our decisions? Let's go ahead and begin to welcome some of our co-hosts as we're calling in. Let's begin with Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, thank you for having me again, and good evening, everybody.
Okay, excellent. We're going to be hearing from Susan and several of our other co-hosts this evening, so we're just giving them an opportunity to go ahead and press one on their dial. So, we want to invite the presence of the Lord into our program, and dear Father in heaven, we pray that you would be with our program tonight. Help us to get more from it than we bring to it. And we know that the show goes real fast. Bless the program according to your will, grace, mercy, and precious friend. Thank you. Amen. All right, so now we're taking a look here, and we're going to take a look and see that, you know, when we talk about God helping us and making any of our decisions, Darren Deedy, let me start with you by asking this question. When it comes to decisions, why do you think we need to depend on God for his help?
You know, even though he gives us free will to make our own decisions, if you're unsure with something, you know, go to him and ask him. He'll let you know whether if it feels easy in your heart, then I would move forward. But if you're struggling, I would wait to, you know, really look at the situation a little deeper.
All right.
Let
me go.
You can feel.
All right. Let me go here. Okay. Let me go and ask. I mean, Susan's going to be joining us momentarily. And let me ask a question to Darren Deedy also. You say if you're struggling, go to him. So are you saying if you're not struggling, don't go to him with the decision that you have to make? Darren Deedy? All right, we're not hearing her for some reason right now. Maybe you're on mute, Darren Deedy. All right, Suzanne, let's bring you in here. Let's bring you in here, Suzanne. Suzanne, does God help us in making any of our decisions? What's your first thought when you hear that question?
Well, my first thought is, yes, he does. I believe he does. We go to him for guidance and direction. And I believe that if we ask him for it, he will give it to us.
Okay. All right. So he will give it to us. All right. He will give us what? He will give us what? Direction, guidance?
Yes. Guidance, direction, protection, all of that.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Okay, so what about when we, let's say, for example, we're going to give a scenario here. Darren Deedy, are you back with us? Maybe you're on mute. If you're having a problem with your phone, Darren Deedy, let us know because we're not able to hear you on this end. So a scenario here, Suzanne, and that is a young lady wants to get married, and this seems to be the guy of her dreams and so forth and so on, and she wants to get married to him. And she sees some red flags, but she's praying. She's really openly praying to God to help her make the right decision. And she sees a few red flags, but, you know, she's scared. Like a lot of people are nervous about getting married. So now all of a sudden she decides she does it. She goes and she gets married. And it turns out she thought that God gave her the sign to go ahead and get married by not stopping her. And she went ahead with it. And all of a sudden now she realized this isn't the marriage. 6 months into the marriage, she realized she made a mistake. Now, Suzanne, is that God's fault? She asked for guidance, direction, you know, in that area.
Yeah. Well, he was giving her signs that things were not right. He allowed her to see that. And she chose not to follow those signs. But he also gave us common sense. Well, some folks, they don't even know what that is, but or how to use it. But, yeah, he does.
All right.
He
lets us
know. I mean, I was just going to say, we just choose to ignore them.
Okay, so he gives us common sense, and we choose to ignore them. All right,
yes.
That's a very interesting thought, a very interesting thought. Okay, all right, Darren Didi, let's bring you back in here. We were having some technical difficulties with you. Are you back with us now, Darren Didi?
Yes, and I hear you unmuted me, but I had to call back in. I don't know why I could hear you guys fine. You couldn't hear me. So,
okay,
yeah,
thank you for
agree
doing
with that last caller. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so, okay, here's another scenario. All right, like we had a story last night where the lady went out and she bought a car. And Suzanne, I want to come back to you with the same one. If God help us in making any of our decisions, that means whether it's one decision or 50 decisions. Lady went and bought a car, and she knew that she was on a tight budget. Her friend actually told her, say, well, listen, you can't afford a new car. Your budget indicates that you might be able to only afford about $250 a month plus another $150 for insurance. So don't get a new car. But when she gets to the dealership, the salespeople talk her into buying a brand new car. So, and the payments are $600 a month. Now, 3 months into having this car, it's wrecked and totaled. And the insurance had lapsed on it. And now the dealership is garnishing her check for over $600 a month for the next 6 or 7 years. So, Darren Didi, if she prayed about this here and yet she went ahead with it, then is that God's fault?
No, it's, again, that he gives us free will. And she knew better just listening that her budget was tight. And I think she listened to more of her friends than she did the Holy Spirit, because she knew at the start that she couldn't afford a new car. There you go, with free will.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Why would people make these type of decisions? Why would they make these decisions knowing that they're not necessarily going to make a good decision? Why would you go buy a car for $600 a month knowing that you're on a tight budget just to keep up, just to show that some style or class?
Yeah.
I mean, who does
yeah.
that?
I'm not quite sure, but people do it all the time. You know, it's such a materialistic world that we live in, and just trying to keep it up with the Joneses. And I think that's a lot of people's problem.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to bring Marjorie Cross in just a moment when she presses 1 on her dial, and we're going to give her an opportunity to give her a commercial break as well. We're waiting for Marjorie Cross to come in on her phone. And we will allow her to give a commercial break as well as ask her a few questions as well. So my thought is, I mean, here it is. Does God help us with making any of our decisions? Suzanne, let me bring you back. Suzanne, any decision, whether it's a decision to buy a new dress, do you need God to help you with that decision? It's a decision. Dress might cost $150.
Well, I think what he does at times, speaking for myself, I'll see something that I like and I'll pick it up and then I'll think about it. I'll hesitate and then I'll put it back. So it's almost as if someone has told me, you don't really need this, so put it back. Don't waste the money. And if that's God or one of my angels watching over me, I'm grateful for that because it saved me a lot of money. Well, I believe there's some force out there that speaks to us, and whether we take heed to it or not, that's our choice.
That's our choice. That's our choice. All right, Marjorie Cross, we're going to bring you in just a moment when you press 1. If you want to chime in on the conversation tonight, just simply press 1 on your dial so we can hear you as well. I mean, when it comes to decisions, I heard you all say that he gives us common sense. He gives us common sense. Do everybody use common sense, though?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so do you think anybody is capable of not using common sense, Suzanne? And if so, how do you know when you have to use common sense? How do you know?
Well, it's almost like that scenario. You tell a kid, don't touch the stove because you know it's hot and it will burn you, okay? But the kid's going to do it anyway.
Okay,
and then what
so
happens?
They get burned. But isn't it true that the best experiences are those where we learn for ourselves?
Yes, sometimes. But that, like, once again, that's where common sense come in. So some of the things that you do can be deadly.
Okay, so if I don't know, if I'm this 6-year-old kid, and I don't have the ability to understand your common sense because you're an adult, and you're saying the stove is hot. The stove is hot. Well, probably a 6-year-old would, but maybe a 4-year-old, 3-year-old may have a difficult time understanding that. So now you're saying don't touch 100,000 times. And now the kid is like, he sees the red, but the red, you know, has a tendency psychologically in the mind to bring interest, to cause alarm. So the boy or the girl wants to touch that because it's red. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
So now when they touch it, it's hot. Now their brain has this forms this connotation to understand that something red like that can be hot and dangerous because I felt the pain. So how can we expect to have common sense if we don't experience the ability to exercise common sense on things that are far beyond our comprehension, like for the 3-year-old?
Well, I mean, I understand with the kids, that's how they truly do learn. But when it comes to adults, like this lady that you were talking about from last night, a friend told her she shouldn't buy a new car, helped her with her budget, laid everything out for her. And what did she do? She came out, really couldn't afford, just for the sake, because of letting them talk her into it.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Suzanne. No, go ahead. We're not hearing you well.
No, I said, so she really lost out on a lot because she saw this new thing and she liked it, even though she knew that she couldn't afford it.
Okay, so what you're saying to me then is, God, did God help her with her decision or not? She prayed. If she prayed and now it didn't work out for her, why didn't God help her with the decision, or did God help her with the decision?
Yes. She helped a friend. I mean, she had a friend who showed her circumstance and her situation, what she could afford and could not afford. That was the help that she received.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand by. Marjorie Cross, I want to bring you in here. Marjorie Cross, is it fair to say, in your opinion, that God works through people? Why couldn't God just send her, you know, like the information and say, listen, do not buy that car because you can't afford it. Why, God being omniscient, all-knowing, why couldn't God just whisper in her ear that don't do this?
Okay, good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening all your co-hosts and everyone on the line. Usually, God talks to us, but he doesn't always talk directly to the person. Sometimes he tells somebody else to tell you, but sometimes he actually tells you. Because in my experiences, a lot of times he speaks to me. You know, because before God spoke to me, you know, when people tell me God spoke to me, I'm like, yeah, right, to myself. And then when he actually spoke to me more than once, I said, no, it's true. I mean, you know, like when he speaks to you, you be obedient about something, you know, then that is good. You know, but as I said, sometimes people say, God tell me something to tell you. And I'm like, sometimes, so why he didn't tell me himself, you know? But I believe that you could tell people things to tell you, but not all the time. Some of them, I think, just say that so you would believe them or something, you know. But I think you can
okay,
speak to people. Like with the friends telling her about the car, you know, I usually say to myself, if God helped me to get a car, if he helps me to get one, and then I know that if he helps me, then he wanted me to get it, and I will be able to afford it. That's the way I tell myself.
Okay, so, Marjorie Cross, you're saying that God speaks to us. But
yeah,
if he speaks to us, who are us? Because you said he might talk to somebody else. Then why couldn't he tell you? So help me understand that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He speaks to people. He speaks to me. You know, I've heard from him a few times. But some people will tell you. True people, you speak true people also. But some people come and say, God says so and so. Some of them could be telling the truth and some of them could be lying. You know, so I don't believe everybody who comes to me and say, God tell me this, God tell me that. You know, I'm like very skeptical with that. Because some people will tell you, God tell me, give me $1,000. And he didn't tell you that. You know, you just say to the person, well, maybe feel sorry for you and give it to you. Just an example. You know, but I think it does speak to people, though. I really do believe that.
So
you know, but
let me
not
ask
everybody
you this.
Say that.
Right.
Yeah.
So what does you say he speaks to you? Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, he does.
Okay, what does his voice sound like? So when if he should be speaking to me, I'll know that that's God's voice. So
okay,
what does his voice sound
to,
like?
If it's okay to share an experience with you, it's not too long. I'll just
okay,
summarize
sure.
it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm very active with the PTSA, and one day we went to the meeting, the city hall meeting, and the mayor and everybody. Some people came and requested that they put a 100-foot T-Mobile cell phone tower on the Miami Nolan football field. So we had a big meeting about it, and then they actually the first day the people came to them, they said they voted yes. And I'm like, when I went to the meeting, I'm like, oh, could they do that? The mayor and everybody voted yes. And then I'm like, I said to somebody, no, we can't take that. We're going to fight it. So, but this court, they already voted yes. I said, I'm sorry. Either vote yes or not, if there's something on vote, it's going to be unvoted. And then we go to different session, and the mayor will be saying, oh, I've seen her once at the session, and she said, but where should we put it, Miss Cross? Because every meeting I would go and talk about it. I said, I don't care where you put it, but you want me there. So to get just cut it short a little, one night I went to bed and I spoke to the Lord and I said, God, we cannot let them put this cell phone tower on the football field. What should we do? And the voice said to me, write a petition. And I'm like, write a petition? And I said, Lord, I've never written a petition before. It's just a soft voice. And he said, get a pen and paper, I'll tell you what to write. And I did, I was obedient. I got a pen and paper, and everything he told me to write, I wrote it. And I went to bed. I got it in the morning, I was all excited. I told my friend, I said, sorry, I wrote a petition. She said, read it for me. And I read it. She said, that sounds good. And then, excuse me. Then I got somebody to print it out. This was in 2010, but I still get so excited because I'm glad they didn't put it there because those folk cause radiation and Children before the age of 22 have a lot of water on the brain, so that could give them cancer. And then they did a study. I got an article, five-page article about the poll, and they said children, and they said they put a cow in the ear with a cell phone tower, and the cow had substantial reduction in breast milk, health problems, and behavior problems. So that means it could mess up our body. So I thank God we did that. Every meeting I spoke on against it, everybody got together. We got petitions signed, turned it in. And, you know, the just to sum it up, one day the mayor wanted to meet with us, and we met with her after speaking about it every meeting. And she said, because my people don't want it, and because they talk us so much against it, we are not even going to consider signing a contract. And you know how much I was going to get? $1,500 for the month. So I thank God. That was one positive thing and one good experience that I had with the Lord. And he spoke to me in a soft voice. So I cannot describe the voice. I know it was him, because I've never written a petition before. And he told me what to write, and I wrote it. So that's my experience. And seemed like yesterday, but I'm very passionate still about it. And every time I pass, I look up and say, thank you, Lord, or the poll is not there. Everybody, do you know where they put it? I say, I don't care. It's not there. You know, because that costs a lot of
money. Right.
Thank you for letting me
share. So thank you for sharing that with us. So I'm going to ask you the question that I asked.
Yeah.
I heard you say that it's a soft voice. But tell me, give me you gave me an example that what he said to do. But how did it sound? Did it sound like a whisper? Did it sound like fire? Did it sound like rushing water? Did it sound like thunder? Did it sound like a human voice?
No. I guess he have different tones. But in my tone, he just said, write a petition in a soft tone. You know, and I said, but, you know, it didn't, no thunder. But he does have time, I think, when it's thunderous. Like, you know.
Okay, but I need
angry,
to know what you heard. I need to know what you heard. You know,
that's
not
what I heard. That's what I'm saying. You.
Okay, so
what I heard was a soft voice, like you would say, write a petition. A soft, tender voice. That's what I heard.
Okay, very good. We're going to ask you to stand by. Darren Dede, I want to bring you in here. Have you had an experience where it's like you've asked God for something, he helped you make a decision, and he spoke directly to you? And if so, what did that sound like?
Yes, I have gone to him, and yes, he has answered, but it's not an audio voice. It's just... It's a voiceless message that fills my head with the information. It's almost kind of like I'm having a conversation, but there's no voices exchanged. It's just silence.
Okay, voiceless message. Help me understand that.
No,
I might be a little slow.
I get a message in my mind. It's almost like it's a thought that fills into my head that comes from someplace, but. It's when I'm talking to him. There's never an actual audio voice from him. It's more of a message.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Suzanne, have you had an experience, whether it was auditory, whether it was voiceless? I mean, have you had an experience?
I believe I have. There was a time where, I believe it was God telling me what to do. I was going through a rough time, and I had a voice speaking to me like they were right by me, but I couldn't see anyone. And knew what I needed to do. So
did you do it?
Yeah, I did it. Mm-hmm. I did what
did it work
to do, and it worked.
So I'm thinking something that Marjorie Cross said. No, not Marjorie Cross, Darren Dede said, a voiceless message that's more a thought that entered her mind.
Mm-hmm.
So Marjorie Cross, could it have been a voiceless message to you that may have been just a thought that could still come from God. Or you say
no,
it's a voice, and you, all you're telling me is it's a soft voice.
No, Dr. Walker, this was not, this was a voice. This was a soft voice. This was not a thought. This was so real. This was 4 a.m. in the morning. I woke up, and that's when he told me, 4 a.m. in the morning. So it was not a, it was not, a, it was a voice. You know, it was not no speechless, or it was a voice. And I said, that's God. 4 a.m., who's that telling me something to do? And I called my friend, and I told her, guess what? I wrote a petition. And she said, read it. And when I read it, she said, oh, Margie, that sounds good. And then I got somebody to type it up, and I gave it to different people, and we get signatures every time. And then that's what helped us not to add that pole on the football field. Because it was a voice. It was not a voiceless. It was a voice.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you for that. Let me go here now. We're going to bring in Sir Ben to join us tonight. Sir Ben, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Nice to have you with us.
Good evening. I'm glad to be with you. I apologize. I'm just landing at Orlando Airport, so I'm ready.
Well, we're glad that you had safe travels. All right. So those of you all who are just joining us, if God help us making any of our decisions. So, dear indeed, I want to come back to you momentarily. And so if a person is struggling on their job and they're having a hard time from their supervisor and you're praying about, this is another scenario, you're praying about getting a decision, getting some help from God. God, what should I do? Should I quit this job? What should I do? What do you do?
You know, it's funny you ask, because I've gone through it. I went through the exact same thing that you're mentioning right here. And one thing I did not do is I did not pray to God. And I was going off with my free will. And it was my husband's decision that he didn't like the job that I was doing. I was working long hours, and I get it. But I made this hasty decision to please him other than going through the Lord. And I regretted quitting that job because, you know, right after I left, the hours went back to normal and things, you know, kind of petered off, you know. But I was working like, you know, 12 to 14 hours a day, you know, 5 days a week, and I was on salary. So I was making less money than the people flipping burgers at the McDonald's across the street. So I was just burnt out. So I was doing I didn't go to God, and I wish I would have, because I didn't feel easy making that decision. But I was just so stressed out and tired and exhausted, but coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Okay, so had you gone to God and prayed about that, thinking that he would have helped you with a decision, and even if your husband came to you, who God has commissioned to be the head of the household, and your husband went against what maybe God had told you, what do you think the outcome of that would have been with your husband?
You know, I don't think there's anything that's going to make him completely happy, truthfully, but I should have at least, you know, prayed to God and waited for a message or thought about it for a couple of weeks other than, you know, just making a last-minute decision and putting in my two-week notice and just getting out of there. But I wish I wouldn't have, because, you know, you can't really go back, you know, after you quit someplace. I just go on, and it is what it is, and I make do with what I have. But, yeah. I should have went to God.
All right. Sir Ben, we're going to bring you in and ask you, do you really, sometimes people will say, and Marjorie Cross said it earlier, sometimes God will speak to other people for you. And we often hear ministers that say, well, God sent me here to give you all a message today during this church sermon. He sent me here. And now all of a sudden, he knows, for example, on the board, church board, that the people are not putting up 10, he wants the church to give 10 plus 10 in tithing. And it says, God sent me here to tell you that if you don't give 10 plus 10, then you're going to have problems with your car, you're going to have problems with your house, you're going to have problems with your children, you're going to have problems with all kind of financial issues because you're robbing God, Malachi 3:8. Sir Ben, is that coming from God, you think? And perhaps he's on mute. I think he is. Let me go there. Oh. All right, Sir Ben, go ahead. Now we can hear you. Go ahead.
Can
Sir
you hear
Ben?
Me?
Yeah, we
can
now.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
No, that's not coming from good. Agenda he's trying to achieve, and he's.
All right, try it again. Try it again.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, yes.
Hello. Okay, so
yes,
that is not coming from. That's not coming from God. That's coming from a person who has a personal agenda, and the agenda is in his own thoughts in his mind, and he's using people and using that kind of. Scare tactic, you know, that kind of, you know, master-servant type of technique to convince people that if they don't do this, then God's going to take some drastic action on their lives. And that's just not, you know, that's just not a prudent way to live one's life and make people feel frightened, because God is not a angry God. I mean, he's proven that over and over and over again. You know, he had 2,000 years where he didn't even chastise people for doing things like, you know, murders and things like that. He just said, well, no, I'm not going to do that because I need them still. So preaching in the pulpit is really just irresponsible and just totally on the line with what God really wants.
Okay, so now in your opinion, all right, even if it's not coming from the pulpit, and all of a sudden now I'm your friend and I come up to you and I say, listen, man, I know you're getting ready to marry this girl. And God sent me a message to tell you, don't marry this girl. You know, she's just not the one for you. I'm just your friend, different from your parent that may have come. What do you think? I mean, would God use me to tell you, don't marry this girl whom you're in love with?
You know, God can use anybody, anything, animals, whatever he needs to use to get the message to you. You should be open and willing to listen to what's being given to you. If a message is being given to you by a person that you're familiar with and that you know has a very close walk or relationship with God, and even if they don't, you should be open to listen to the discernment of what's being given to you. There, I always say, before anything in life happens, God sends you a sign, a signal, or something to let you know what's about to happen, whether it's good or bad. And most of the time, we miss certain things because we're too focused on what we're looking at and not listening for discernment.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Marjorie Cross, I want to bring you in. We're going to give you an opportunity for your commercial break at this time. Go ahead.
Okay. Good evening again, everyone. My name is Marjorie Allen Cross. I'm a nurse and a health and wellness consultant with one of the most outstanding companies in the world, Isagenix. And we have many, over 150 health products that may be able to help you with any health conditions. And we have a lot of products, like collagen, adaptogen, different products. So if you would like to find out more about this, you could give me a call at 786-319-7223. Again, my number is 786-319-7223, or you could go to my website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. Okay, call me, please. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thank you for that. Marjorie Cross, while I've got you here, the question becomes, when it comes to making decisions, should we consult God on every decision that we have to make, every decision? Whether we got to, I mean, should we, or is it necessary?
Yes, I think we should, you know, and then wait for answer. I think we should consult him, because I'm a person who likes to pray. And, you know, I pray about things and then let him know about what's going on. I do. I think we should consult him.
If you need to drive to the mall, do you need to consult God about that?
No. I did say everything, but not everything. If it's some small little thing, no. If the thing is the bigger thing and it's very important, I'll consult it. But driving to the mall, no. No, I don't just consult him for that. But on my way, I'll say, God, guide and protect me, you know, just like that.
Right. Right. Okay, Suzanne, I want to bring you in here. And when it comes to helping us, does God help us? Does he help us? What does that mean to you? Does God help us in making decisions? Does he help us? And if so, how does he help us? Is it speaking through people? How is that? What if it's late at night and there's nobody that's around and it's 11 o'clock? Are you expecting a phone call from somebody that says, God told me to call you and tell you to put the pot of chicken so it doesn't spoil because you made it, it's for tomorrow's dinner. He told me to tell you to put that in the refrigerator.
No, I don't think it's like that. But I do believe that he guides us as far as doing right and doing wrong. I think he places it on. Well, if you have a conscience, okay, and you know you're doing something wrong, and you do it anyway, then you deserve whatever happens to you. But if you know it's wrong and you say, okay, I better not do that, well, that's someone higher than us informing you that's not the right way to go. And that's my opinion on that. So I believe he does.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Okay. So, all right. But let's go back to the pot on the stove, the pot of chicken. You end up falling asleep. Because I'm going to tell you, I believe, this is how I believe, I do believe that God helps us in making any of our decisions. I do. Mm-hmm. And whether it's an audible voice that you hear or a voiceless thought, a voiceless message or a thought that comes to your mind, I think I have experienced both, just personally speaking, because I could actually be lying down or is it our subconscious, which we have, psychology tells us that we have three minds. We have the id, the ego, and the superego, which means when you get into the id, the higher mind, it's like this is the mind that doesn't sleep. This is the mind that maybe God operates in with us. Because I could be lying down, and I'm sure this happens to everybody, cognizantly. Okay, your cognizant things start to come into play. You could be lying down. You put a pot on the stove, and you're in the bedroom, and you're falling. You fall asleep. You're falling asleep, and all of a sudden something wakes you up. And it's not even a voice. It's a voiceless message or a thought. Oh, I got to put that pot in the refrigerator. The stove is off, but I was just waiting for it to cool down. Now, Suzanne, has that ever happened to you and you got up, you know, maybe 3 hours later so that your dinner for tomorrow doesn't spoil? It's happened to me a number of times.
Yes, many times. Many times.
Okay, is that maybe God helping us?
Someone in the spirit or whatever you want to call it, somebody is helping us because normally we would probably just stay asleep.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sir Ben, let me bring you in. Now, we've heard of families perishing in their homes because they didn't have a carbon monoxide detector, and the gas got out, and they died in their sleep, families. So how be it that could it have been that God, you said before anything happened, God sends us a sign or something. So what happens in a case like that? Recently we read about a family of four where the children were old enough to even know. So how is it that all four people could have ignored something, and the adults in the home, why didn't they have even a carbon monoxide detector?
Well, okay, I'm going to go back to the original statement I made yesterday. I said God takes care of babies and fools. So
a little louder, sir, man. We can't hear you.
I said God takes care of babies and fools. And when he have those types of people. He has own methodology of their prisons that God knows, because he knows the past, the present, and the future. There are things that he knows that may be coming up on that family that may tear him apart, may cause them to go astray from who he is. And so sometimes God allows his will to be done. Will is not explainable always to us in our analytical, morphomorphic mind. We cannot understand how and why and the way God do things. It was never designed that way. So we go what we call, we have to say that it is God's will. Even though it doesn't make sense to us, it is God's will. Ultimately, he makes the final decisions about everything. And so we have the mindset to say that's God's will, and God's will is greater than we can ever imagine. So just have to, you know, we have to be saying even in the bad things that happen. Well, praise God. Think about it. A whole family was lost at one time. Well, that means that they all going to be together in heaven at one time. So, you know, it's not like individual person and a husband and children left around. But no, there's a reason why he does it, and his will is superb, perfect. So therefore, we have to go with the fact that his will is greater than our understanding.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Darren Deedy, we're almost out of time here. We've got about 18 more minutes, and we're going to Darren Deedy, would you like to close us out tonight? Does God help us in making any of our decisions, you know, in about 16 minutes from now?
Oh, I guess I could. I'm just off the cuff of my thoughts.
That's true.
All I could do.
All right. We'll come back to you in about, we'll get to prepare that, and we'll come back to you momentarily. Okay, but in the meantime, Suzanne, I want to bring you back in here. Does God help us in making any of our decisions? Suzanne, you talked about the story last night that people struggle in making better decisions. How be it that we can, and we've been talking about on the show tonight, exercising common sense. Is there a difference between exercising the common sense that God has already given us versus something that we should be able to do on our own?
Probably, because I think most of us need a little help, even in times of using common sense, because we don't know everything, and most of us don't know enough to carry us forward. So we need help. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So let me put this out here. I'm a parent. Many of us on the phone may be parents. So if my kids, if I've trained them a certain way to exercise their brain, you know, efficiently, if I've trained them to exercise their brains, think for yourself. I'm not going to figure it all out for you. I need you to do some stuff for yourself. And now, you know, as they get older, I mean, you know, by the time they're 13, and I've already told you 100,000 times, make up your bed before you leave for school. And now all of a sudden, or to wash the dishes before you go to bed, because that's what you're to do. Now I wake you up in the middle of the night, like I recently experienced, you know, my daughter-in-law woke my grandbaby up, you know, late night, out of her deep sleep, and said, go wash those dishes. And so so now, was that God speaking through my daughter-in-law to tell this child? Because the child had obviously just taken it for granted that, okay, hopefully maybe somebody will wash the dishes. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. So where did it come in that she didn't exercise her common sense that the parent was telling her? And then she got woken up.
Well, she probably felt mom wouldn't bother her and she could do it in the morning. But with most parents, we're on it. You're going to, if I asked you to do it or told you to do it, I expect it to be done.
Okay. All right. So then is it fair to say, or is it reasonable to say, if God, being the ultimate parent, which I believe he is, if he's put common sense in us, you know, to train, I mean, his word, you know, get into the word. If you're not into word, you don't know the word. But But it's there, and he commissions us, get into the word for yourself. Study to show thyself approved. So now if we're in this, and now we're coming up on something that we should have exercised common sense from the knowledge of the word, and we don't. For example, and Sir Ben, this is for you. And he talks about being equally yoked, you know, being equally yoked. And now we get an idea to marry somebody who's a non-believer at all, don't even believe in God. They're an atheist. And here we are believers. So now it doesn't work out. Is it like, well, did I not use common sense? Because I didn't know that the word said that. I didn't know that the word said that. So am I destroyed for a lack of knowledge? What goes on? All right, perhaps Sir Ben is on mute. All right, let me go with, let me bring back Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy on that particular one. So now, because I don't know what the word says if I don't read the word, but I go out here and I get involved with someone that is a non-believer. And you knew that you married a person that don't even believe in God. They're atheists, and they told you that. And now you're having all kinds of problems in your marriage. And all of a sudden now you want God to fix this. What makes you think he's going to fix that when your lack of knowledge is what's destroying you?
Yeah, my thought is, again, he gives us free will, and he allows us to go through our thought process. But I have to say, always seek him. But he lets you, you get your experience through life by not listening to him. The lesson learned, shall I say, it's a hardcore lesson to be learned, but that's the way I'm looking at it, because we all do that. We don't ask, and we just go on free will, and we just take the raft of whatever comes from it.
Okay. So if you're in that bad marriage, and you're thinking, but you're hearing the voices of other people saying, you can't get out of that marriage because, you know, God will not forgive you for getting out of that marriage. But your marriage is clearly abusive. And now you choose to stay in there. So now what happens? What happens now? Are you going to, are you afraid to get out of marriage? But instead you decide, you know what? I'm not happy. So I'm going to find somebody to cheat with. So what's worse? What's worse? Just divorcing?
I know.
Or staying in the marriage,
yeah,
and going to commit adultery.
They're both just as bad, but the best thing to do is to get out of it peacefully, so that way you don't have any guilty, you know, pleasures, you know, having an affair off to the side. But yeah, if you're not in it, you're only harming yourself. And again, you know, God loves you and allows you to make your free will. And he's been telling you all along what to do, but you're just not listening. And you can go on for years. And you're only, it's like a prison sentence, if anything, if I could put it in that way. But it's your own cell block that you hold the key to your own cell block.
And I believe, you know, I want to go ahead and give my thoughts on this as well. Does God help us in making any of our decisions? I believe he does. And I believe, as it was stated earlier, that we decide that, well, God, I don't want what you've set up for me, because that doesn't sound right, you know, so I want to do it my way. And case in point, a lot of the foods that we eat, I personally, this is just my personal humble opinion, we were not designed to eat those foods, you know, many of them taste so good. You put a coconut cake in front of me, and it's very hard to resist that coconut cake. And the contents of that, if I overindulge, it's likely to make me not feel as well. And because I do try on occasion to eat healthy, if I partake of some foods that I probably shouldn't have eaten, in that night or by the next day, I'm going to have the residual effects of feeling this. And it's like, oh, my goodness, I shouldn't have eaten that. You know, if I overindulge with certain foods, I should not have had that. Too much sugar, I should not have had that, because my body is telling on me now I'm so lethargic and all kind of other stuff is going on. So now, is it God's fault that I develop these taste buds and say, Well, God, I want that coconut cake, and I'm going to eat, you put it in front of me, I'm going to eat half of that. I have no discipline power when it comes to things, certain things. So can we blame God for that?
I wouldn't think so. That's your free will. But he's going to let you do whatever you want, but you're the one who's feeling the wrath of it. So,
yeah. So why didn't – go ahead. And then we're going to go to Stephanie in a second. So, Darren Deedy, why didn't God, like, help me with my decision to, like, say, don't eat all that. Don't eat the half of the cake. Why didn't he help me with that? I'm just kind of like.
Because I didn't hear that you didn't go to God to pray whether you can have the cake or not.
I really didn't go to him. Because remember I said earlier, there's some things that we want and we don't want to consult God about. Because he might say no. You know, and some things he exercise common sense. I know better than to sit there and eat a half a cake, but it's hard to resist. That coconut cake, if it's really good, now, if it tastes bad, it's like, oh, no, a spoonful won't even do. Let's go to Stephanie for a second before we close out. We'll come back to you in about 6 minutes. Stephanie, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your patience. Stephanie, do you think God helps us in making any of our decisions?
I think God helps us in making our decisions, but we ourselves a lot of times just overlook a lot of things.
Okay, all right, Sir Ben, are you back with us?
Hello,
Stephanie. I think you. Yes, yeah, Stephanie. Can we can hear you now? Go ahead, Stephanie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking. I'm sorry. What I was saying, yes,
okay.
It's okay. I think God does help us with making decisions, but we always end up doing what we want to do on our own. That's that free will that the young lady mentioned earlier, and I think that's what caused us to either we either listen to God or we listen to ourselves. And 9 times out of 10, we listen to ourselves, we end up feeling a wrath afterwards. So if
absolutely
I were you,
right.
I wouldn't eat that whole cake. I wouldn't eat that cake.
So, okay, Stephanie, if that's the case, yes, can you hear me?
Yes,
can you hear me?
Obviously, you can't hear me. Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you. So the challenge becomes the temptation of the cake. And
yes.
I don't think people realize, oftentimes people don't realize how serious temptations are. It's like, how can you resist?
Do.
Huh?
I think people do realize temptation is serious. I do not believe that. No one, if you're an adult, even if you're a young adult, you know temptation is basically what gets us in trouble half the time, most of the time.
Right. Right. So, okay, Sam, we're going to ask you to stand by. Suzanne, I want to bring you back in and ask a question. Suzanne, I mean, it's like, and I heard Sam say 9 times out of 10, we probably want what we want, and we're not listening to God. And then we feel the residual effects from that, from our decisions, because he was trying to help us out here. So the fact of the matter is, it's just like the food. I mean, you acquire a taste for these foods, that coconut cake. I'm trying to look at what are the healthy aspects of eating this coconut cake, overindulging. I mean, if I'm not going to eat the half of it at one time, I'm probably going to eat a large slice of it, you know, that night. And then it's on my mind. It's like, oh, my goodness, the coconut cake, I'm going to hide it from I'm going to hide it from my children so that they don't even get a piece of it. And so how do I resist that temptation? Yes.
How do you resist it?
It's like, let them get their own cake when they get grown. So, So how do I resist that temptation?
You cannot be that hungry.
But it's the temptation of having that cake.
I don't know how you can do that. I mean, because if you shared it with the kids, you wouldn't feel so bad the next day.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. So because you were being greedy,
That's
think that
it.
Was God's way of thanking you and letting you know next time, share.
Okay. And so, Suzanne, let me ask you this. You have kids, Suzanne?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Suzanne, let me ask you this question, okay? And if you say you'd rather pass and not answer, we understand what the answer is, or if you say you pass. So here's the question. Have you ever had something that was so good, you're like, you're hiding it from your children because you're like,
all
you don't want them to?
All the time. All the time.
All
I have my favorite little things that I like, and I don't want them to have any. Yes, I do, and I know that's probably not right, but
look at that.
I keep certain things that I like for me that are my favorite. Yeah, and I buy them things that they like, but there's some things that I feel is good just for me, not for them.
Right. So that's the same thing I'm saying, and it's like, you know, hey, this is for me. So, Darren Dede, I want to bring you in here. Well, you're going to be closing it out a minute. Let me not bother her right now. Marjorie Cross, I want to go back to you for a second. I think we don't have Sir Ben on. Marjorie Cross, you have kids. Have you ever hid something from your kids that you just don't want them to bother your stuff?
Yes. Yes. Like, even today I went to the store and I buy things and say, this I know they like. I got to put, you know, I put aside some for them, but then I put away more for myself. You know, that's the thing. And I think, yeah, because I know. But with the coconut cake, I think God did tell you something, but you didn't want to listen, so you still
want
to go eat it. I think he did ask you to eat it, but you didn't hear it.
Well, I probably did, but it's just like 70 said, you know, 9 times out of 10. I want that. You know what? I'm sitting here right now, and we're bringing you all the show live from Miami, Florida tonight. And it's like, as I think about this coconut cake, that's the first thing always comes to my mind. And it's like, I want that coconut cake right now. So Stephanie, I mean, when you hear stuff like this here, have you ever hid anything from your kids, Stephanie?
Yes, I have my shoes, my clothes, yes, my money, my credit card. Yes. My child
Doesn't
makes
make
what sense? I have belongs. My child thinks what I have belongs to her. And
okay.
She's married now and still think that way.
You know.
So, yes.
You know. No, go ahead.
Yes, I still have to, I think about that all the time. She thinks what I have belongs to her.
Right.
So.
Right.
And I've had that, I've had that desire to, like, something that I have, I need to hide from her.
Right. And I've even grown up, I even hide stuff from my siblings. It's like, don't be wearing my stuff. Does that make us selfish or bad people, Stephanie? Don't be wearing my, don't be wearing my stuff. I'm hiding my stuff.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. No, I don't think it makes us bad people. It's just it makes us territorial,
right.
And things
right.
that belong to us is ours, and things that belong to them is theirs, because a lot of times people, they want to protect their stuff and use yours.
Right. They sure do. They certainly do. Listen, we're out of time tonight, you all. I want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight. Does God help us in making any of our decisions? We're going to have Darren Dede close us out now with a final thought. Darren Dede.
Thank you so much. And I'll make this short and sweet. It's just off the cuff of my thoughts here. But I would like to thank the Heavenly Father for all joining together in this wonderful topic that we have to remind us each and every day to seek his wisdom and yet allow him and thank him for giving us the freedom of choice. And hopefully we each and every one of us can learn anything that we've heard tonight. To go to the Father first with any decision, big, small, funny, selfish, whatever it may be. And bless you all for joining us tonight, and we look forward to seeing you all next week.
All right. On that note, we're out of time. Thank you all for joining us. And we ask that you join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Fox Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass that, We'll be back here next Friday for your one-hour inspirational program. Until next Thursday, until next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. We'll be broadcasting the show probably from Georgia next week. So listen, good night, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. Thank you, Dr. Walker. And thank you to all the co-hosts, everyone.
Everybody, have a blessed weekend. Blessed Sabbath.
You too. And that was a great closing, dear indeed. Thank you for that great closing.
Thank you. God bless you all. Have a good evening.
God bless you all. Stay safe and stay well, everyone. Take care.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye. Good night. God bless you all.